This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, I'm here with Greg Hay from Peregrine Wines. How are you, Greg?
Very good, thank you. Nice to see you both.
Excellent. We're recording here in your wool shed with a few starlings in the background, so you might hear a bit of noise.
Yeah, well, it's a natural component of life in a winery area, so a little bit of chitter-chatter goes on in the background.
Not a problem. It's quite nice given that you're named after local falcon.
The winery is, not me personally.
No.
the winery itself is named after the peregrine falcon, which is the North American European falcon, which is the one that they have in the UK. Our own one is endemic to New Zealand, so it's actually only ours, called the Korea rare.
One of the key things about Central, I think, climatically, is the humidity or lack of. Yeah. It's quite dry.
Very dry. It's the driest part of the country. It's just the elevation, and as I say, it's quite unique. So just that low humidity means we actually run, most of the vineyards are run under a sustainable wine growing program, which is basically generally accepted as a commercial form of organics. It's not organics. I'm not trying to say it's organic, but it's pretty close to it. There's a lot of vineyards in Central Otago now running under straight organics, and there's a few going under biodynamics. So that low humidity makes that job a whole lot easier. You just don't have any fungal problems. You don't get the rots that you get with like downy mildew and botrytis. And you don't get a lot of pests and diseases up here, because minus 15 in the winter tends to take care of most sort of bugs and insects. So it's as far as that goes, it's a relatively easy place to do those, you know, to do that as a philosophy of organic. So
just on sustainable viticulture in its own right, you described it earlier as a form of organics. Where is it similar? Where is it different?
Well, it's actually pretty much a very easy way to sum it up is it is a typical form of organics, but under the sustainable program, you can use Roundup, which is a herbicide under your vines.
Yeah.
So if you actually took out the herbicide component being Roundup, then you would be extremely close to being straight organic. So it's an auditable, like it's actually, you get audited, you have to prove that you are actually sustainable. It's not something you say, oh look, I am sustainable, but I'm driving my tractor at night time, you know, firing the chemicals on. It's actually, and it's about maintaining the integrity of the land in a way or a form that is beneficial to the land and beneficial to the grapes and beneficial to the consumers. So it's about changing your whole thinking process. Like, you just don't go... The old way of actually, say, for example, looking after powdery mildew, which was to put sulphur, which is an organic compound, on your vines, It's a 14-day cycle. So everyone would in the past would have put sulphur on every 14 days. But under a sustainable system, you actually check the weather forecast or you check the weather that's been, because some weather patterns don't allow for the propagation of the powdery mildew spores.
Yep.
So instead of putting it on 14 days because it's a Tuesday, you might actually look at the weather charts and go, well, actually, there were 5 days in there that didn't actually suit powdery mildew. I'm not going to put it on. I'll wait till the 28th day when I think that might actually be applicable.
Yep.
And you have to monitor them. You don't just go and put water on because you think it's actually, you need a beer or you're thirsty and your clothes are drying on the washing line. You actually checked water monitors to see what the vines are actually requiring. So you just don't go and use up resources. Like, you just don't go and use water because you can. You go and check that the vines, A, require them, and that it's beneficial. And there's lots of process. Like, you just don't drive your tractor up the rows because you can. You have to use the tractor, you know, minimum amount of times and put wider tyres on it, so there's actually less impact on the soil, so it doesn't break down and compact the soil and squash the worms and all those sort of things, or use up, you know, diesel. So it's about being custodians of land in a way that is completely sustainable but beneficial.
Who sets the rules?
Well, it originally came out of Switzerland, I gather, but there's a sustainable grape-growing council within New Zealand. As I say, totally auditable. You get accredited. You can put a sign on the gate if you want to that says, you know, these are... It's a great concept. The problem is not a philosophical one. The problem is actually an educational one. People understand organics. Mm-hmm. People understand if you put organic on your label, they understand what organic means, and it's a... Yep. People, it's a feel-good factor. If you put on your label of your wine, these wines are grown under sustainable viticulture practices, people don't know what it means. So my only concern is that that's probably not the right word in the meantime. That there is, you know, it's a fantastic philosophy, and I think all New Zealand vineyards have to be run under sustainable viticulture by 2012.
That's been set by the Wine Growers Association.
Correct. So it's not as if there's actually going to be a plan A or a plan A. That is the plan, and that you have to be able to do it. So
why is that? Have they got some legislation that's forcing New Zealand growers, or is it?
Oh, look, I think it's just one of those things of being proactive. You know, we've got the opportunity to do it. We're in a land which is, you know, this pure discovery, or this, you know, this whole image that New Zealand has of this clean green environment. You have to sort of walk the walk, not just do the talk. So we have to be seen to be actually doing as much as we can, because, you know, it's the marketing of the wines, it's a tough environment. So any little factors that we can have which help with the marketing of the wine and this image that New Zealand has out there, we have to maintain it. Like, you can't just sort of go, well, that's what we used to be seen as, but we're not anymore. You know, we have a great opportunity to put our hand up and say, well, we are going to be the cleanest, greenest, purest country in the world, making fantastic wines, and you know, they're enjoyable, they're great wines, but you'll actually enjoy them even more knowing that they've actually had very little impact on the environment, if not they've been promoting it. So it's I think, look, it's a great philosophy, but it's one which is easily achievable, and it's one that the consumers seem to be latching onto, and especially if there's actually no downside for them.
Just finishing up, I noticed you guys won an award for your architecture on your winery.
Yep.
What's the idea of the? Because it's almost like a huge flowing
wing. You can say it.
Well, I wanted you to say it.
It's a wing.
Yeah, you lift off?
No, the wind comes from the other direction, luckily. It's no, it is. It's a nice building. I mean, you could have actually... We finished the building in 2003, and it won several international awards. One was based out of London by a magazine called AR&D for the best piece of emerging architecture in the world back in 2004. And then it won the New Zealand Supreme Architecture Award the same year, which is pretty hard not to win after you've won the best one in the world. So
yeah, yeah.
It would have been a big call.
If you come third or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then it was also rated in one of the New York papers, the New York Post, as one of the top five wineries in the world to go and visit. So, look, there's a couple of aspects. It's it was more to try and do something different on the landscape, because it's a fairly unique landscape. Like, there's no vernacular here. There's no building style that says this is what Central Otago building should look like. But we wanted to sit something on the landscape, and the winery itself is pretty much buried underground completely. So that takes away a lot of the
heat,
temperature variations of plus 35 to minus 15. But it also takes away the size. Like, it would have been a big building on the landscape, so we buried it. And then the roof is actually based on the avian theme, with the two birds that we have as brands, the peregrine being our little native falcon and the saddleback being another one of our rare birds. That the avian theme, so the wing of the roof, which is about 150 metres long, does look like the wing of the bird, and it works extremely well as part of the brand. So it was trying to be part of a branding exercise, really, where people look at that building in a photograph and go, that must be Peregrine's Winery in Central Otago, New Zealand, because that's the only winery building I've ever seen that looks like that. So that might take 5 years, or it might take 50 years, or it might take 100 years, but people will get the click of it. So, although one dear old lady did actually ring me up about a week after it was finished and said, "Mr. Hay, I've just driven past and your roof's collapsed on your building." So I said, "Thanks, dear, at least you noticed."
Excellent. All right, I think we'll wrap it up there, Greg. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks very much for the interview.